This week, I kept going between doing an episode over the Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuban Missile Crisis. After much consideration, I decided instead of doing two episodes, I would just combine the two, considering the Bay of Pigs invasion was a key factor leading up to the Cuban Missile Crisis. Let's jump into things. I'm your host, Rachel Payton, and you're listening to the Cuban Missile Crisis on the Chronicles of Time. All the events that I talk about occurred during the Cold War. The Cold War was basically a battle for who had more power, the United States or the Soviet Union. The tension would increase over a decade, and in the 1960s, President Dwight D. Eisenhower would approve the operation where over 1,400 Cuban exiles would be trained to overthrow Fidel Castro. This was led by the CIA. Castro had overthrown the dictator of Cuba in 1959 and claimed leadership of the country. Once John F. Kennedy was elected president in 1960, the CIA operation fell under his leadership, and he approved a plan to invade Cuba. Kennedy was unsure of the elaborate plan, but was reassured that the United States' involvement could be left unknown. At the end of the day, this couldn't have been farther from the truth. Castro knew about the invasion before it happened, taking the entire surprise attack element away. The original location of the invasion was the city of Trinidad, but Kennedy preferred a more secluded spot on the southern shore called the Bay of Pigs. The first step of the plan was to attack and destroy Castro's small air force. Since the Americans were unaware that their plan was public knowledge, they continued to conduct a strike against Cuban airfields on April 15, 1961. But considering Castro knew the plan, he moved his planes out of harm's way. They missed nearly every single target, leaving President Kennedy embarrassed and doubtful, but at this point it was much too late. Action had already been taken. The operation continued on. On April 17th, the fiasco continued. The trained Cuban exiles landed late at night on the swampy shore of the Bay of Pigs. Unexpected coral reefs hit part of their ship, and after taking way too much time to unload, the exiles were instantly outnumbered by Cuban troops. Fidel Castro was woken up at 3:15 in the morning and instantly took action. All militia was to be alert, and he also ordered airstrikes against the exiles. But this fight did not last long. Just 2 days later, on April 19th, the exiles surrendered to Cuban troops. Over 100 were dead, and over 1,000 were captured and held in Cuban prisons. This was a complete disaster in Kennedy's presidency. It made him look weak and incapable. The whole purpose was to eliminate communism and get Cuban citizens to join in and help overthrow Castro. But instead, Castro was stronger than ever. But what about the 1,000 prisoners? How do we get them back to America? Well, we paid $53 million worth of food and medical supplies for the prisoners. Although one prisoner was kept until 1986 without any explanation as to why, Kennedy would later admit that the invasion was a mistake. A $53 million mistake. Castro and Cuba became quick allies with the Soviet Union once he came to power. Cuba depended on their military and economic aid, especially after the recent American invasions. To ensure that wouldn't happen again, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev sent missiles to Cuba. The missiles were there for over a month before the United States found them. The CIA showed Kennedy photographs taken of the missile site. The missiles could reach New York and Washington, D.C. in 13 short minutes. But here's the thing. The United States had missiles in Turkey, pointing right at the Soviet Union. Why can the United States point their missiles at them, but the Soviet Union can't do the same? President Kennedy was now faced with two options: an airstrike on the missile site, basically ensuring nuclear war, or a naval blockade, making Soviet ships unable to enter Cuba. In order to achieve higher chances of negotiation with Khrushchev, Kennedy chose a naval blockade. It was now time to inform Americans of what was going on. Over 100 million Americans tuned in as he told them of the findings of the missiles. This caused chaos to erupt in the states. Unsure if or when nuclear war would break out, people began to freak out. But 2 days later, Soviet ships that were headed towards Cuba turned around, insinuating negotiations would be coming. On October 26, Khrushchev wrote President Kennedy, saying if he stopped the naval blockade and promised not to invade Cuba, that he would be willing to withdraw his troops. Many were unhappy with the two negotiating with each other. Castro wrote Khrushchev, asking him to commit nuclear strike against the United States first. Khrushchev didn't take the advice of Castro. Instead, he went on the radio with a proposal to Kennedy that if he removed his missiles in Turkey, he would remove his in Cuba. But many people didn't want Kennedy to give in to the negotiations, fearing Khrushchev would demand more if he did. While that is happening, an American spy plane pilot by the name of Rudolf Anderson was spotted flying over Cuban airspace and was shot down and killed on impact, pushing us closer to the brink of war. It was time to accept negotiations or take action. John F. Kennedy turned to his attorney general and brother, Robert F. Kennedy, to propose a draft of the negotiation terms. They were this: the United States wouldn't invade Cuba in exchange for the missiles being removed. But as for the missiles in Turkey, they would be removed, but it must be kept a secret in order to keep NATO happy. This 13-day standoff was at the height of the Cold War. With missiles stationed just 90 miles away from the United States, one wrong move could prove disastrous. Treaties have been put in place to prohibit the use of nuclear weapons since the crisis. Khrushchev accepted the terms, bringing an end to the Cuban Missile Crisis. It took 2 weeks to remove the last missile from Cuba and 5 months to remove the missile from Turkey. John F. Kennedy was later assassinated November 22, 1963, and Khrushchev would be removed from office in 1964. He was removed for bringing the world too close to a nuclear war. And as for Fidel Castro, he remained in power for 40 more years. You now know about the Bay of Pigs invasion and the Cuban Missile Crisis. If you like this episode, please rate and review it. Any questions, comments, or episode suggestions can be emailed to thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. And as always, I'm your host, Rachel Payton. Thank you for listening to The Chronicles of Time.